Well, historically, this would be Palm Sunday. If you were living 2,000 years ago, you would be experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and people throwing palm branches down and their clothes down, saying Hosanna to the Son of David and looking at him as the coming of the Messiah, because that's what Scripture said the Messiah would do. He would come riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. So that would be Palm Sunday or Sunday historically. And then just a few days later on a Friday, all those hosannas and all that yelling and worshiping would turn into cries and jeers, crucify him, crucify him. Amazing how the mob can turn in just a few days. And they crucified the Son of Glory and hung him on a cruel cross as an execution, like a criminal. And then, of course, he rose the third day later, which would be on a Sunday morning, and that's the reason we meet every Sunday. But in commemoration of that, I thought it appropriate to talk to you about the cross, and specifically in light of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, which is a reminder of the cross, which in a few days, historically, they're going to say this is Good Friday, this is the day he was crucified, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead. It's appropriate that we, on a Palm Sunday, so to speak, the days before the crucifixion, we don't meet on Fridays, but we're here Sunday. So it's appropriate to talk about the cross and actually observe the Lord's Supper. We're going to be doing that this morning. I know it's morning time, and we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. It's called that because it was during the Passover Supper the Lord instituted this observance and made it a New Testament church ordinance. It was during that Passover supper, so they call it the Lord's Supper. He did that when he instructed the apostles to observe the Passover supper as his deliverance from sin's bondage, as he himself would be the Lamb of God, the actual Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. The Lord's Supper has been called throughout historical Christianity, the Lord's Table Ordinance. It's been called the Communion. It's been called the Eucharist, from the Greek word eucharisteo, meaning to give thanks. In the primitive indigenous New Testament church, they simply referred to it as their love feast, or the breaking of bread that you can read there in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, or in Jude 12, when he refers to the Lord's Table as a love feast. This formal ceremony, Christians commemorate, consecrate, and consume the bread and the cup, is a New Testament church ordinance, an authoritative decree our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prescribed as a church rite for all Christians to obey for all time. That's why we do it. The night Jesus made this institution of ordinance was during a very special religious celebration called the Passover. The Passover was a once a year Jewish festival, a Jewish holiday. When the month Nisan came, on the 14th day of that month, the Jews would keep this Passover observance instituted by God when he delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage after 400 years of slavery. The Lord plagued Egypt's king and Egypt's kingdom with 9 plagues. And then the 10th plague would be the death of the firstborn of Egypt. But the Lord said he would pass over the firstborn of Israel, and they would not die. But for Israel to be delivered from 400 years of Egyptian bondage and their firstborn spared, they must obey the Lord's direct command by marking their homes with lamb's blood. This is the Lord's command. In Exodus chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of the months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it also from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat. And they shall eat the flesh the same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, rather roast with fire, both the ends and the legs along with the entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left over it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down the firstborn, the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. This was when Israel was delivered from 400 years of bondage, when the Lord was going to strike Egypt with the last plague, and he was going to mark the doorpost with the blood of the lamb, and he was going to pass over the houses that had the door marked with the blood. This memorial event in the history of Israel was to never be forgotten. I just read to you, it is a permanent ordinance. It was to be a memorial for them, a permanent ordinance to be remembered. And it was during this Passover observance, Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper for the New Testament. It was that night during the Passover. Luke 22:1 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching." Verse 14 and 15 says, "When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And Jesus said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So this is Passover night. The apostles are gathered with Christ up in the upper room. This is Passover night. Verse 16, continuing, says, "For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." And there you have the record of what happened as Jesus instituted the Passover that night into the New Testament church ordinance, the Lord's table. What is vitally significant is Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." No longer observe the Passover in remembrance of the Lord's deliverance of Israel's bondage in Egypt, but do this in remembrance of me. We've been celebrating the Passover for all these generations, and I'm changing it now. I'm changing it for the church. Don't look back at your deliverance as Israel's a nation from Egyptian bondage. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. You don't have to remember that anymore. Remember me. The Lord Jesus himself was the Passover lamb that would be killed, and his blood would mark believers by his sacrificial blood atonement for their sins. And the Lord will see the blood on the day of judgment, and he will pass over them and spare them and deliver them from sin's judgment and bondage, and they will all go to heaven, the true promised land. So when you become a believer, you can read in Hebrews and many other places, Jesus marks your life with his blood. He washes you with his blood. You're marked with the blood. And on the day of judgment, when the Lord God sees the blood, He passes over you and spares you. This is what the Lord Jesus wanted his apostles to get. The Jewish Passover was an historical event in the life of Israel and their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. But in reality, it pictured the Lord's deliverance of the sinner's life of bondage to sin. That's what happens when you get saved and the Lord wipes you with his blood. He delivers you from sin's bondage, which is much greater than just being delivered from a nation's slavery and bondage. In reality, all human beings are a slave to sin, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us from that bondage to our sin nature. And he does that by applying his blood. It was during that Passover night when he changed the Jewish Passover to the New Testament church's Lord's Supper. And Jesus himself tells the apostles, and tells the Apostle Paul by personal direct revelation, when the New Testament churches observes this ordinance, when they partake of the bread, they are to do this in remembrance of me. And when they partake of the cup, they are to do this in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper, like what the Passover was for remembrance, was to remember what the Lord has done for us. There is something about this thing of remembering. And you know, I preach a whole message to you about remembering and not forgetting the Lord. I think it's pretty easy for Christians to get spiritual amnesia and forget who we are and whose we are. And we need to always be reminded. Scripture says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. And knowing that if you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited by your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:19 tells us. The Passover was a deliverance of a nation's bondage to another nation. The Lord's Supper pictures the deliverance of a person's bondage to sin and condemnation and his union with Christ. The point Jesus was making that night was something to be remembered. That was the whole idea of the Passover, to remember back when we were delivered. And Jesus' whole point of changing that thing was, now this is something to be remembered. The lamb that was killed, whose blood was used to mark the Jewish home, was to remember, but he wanted something more significant than that. And that was the Lamb of God that was to be killed on Calvary, whose blood was used to mark the sinner's heart. And that's what he was teaching them that night. The apostles understood clearly what the Lord was doing that night when the Jewish Passover was changed, the New Testament church ordinance, the Lord's Supper. They were like, what? You're changing everything. Of course, they didn't know that just a few hours he was going to be arrested. And in the morning, they were going to condemn him, and beat him, and whip him, and then crucify him. They didn't know that. But Jesus is beginning to teach them, when all this happens, and then the church's birth, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus was going to ratify the new covenant in his own blood, inaugurating the new covenant, and those who enter into it and are partakers of it. The new covenant was promised to Israel, where the Spirit indwells you, all your sins are forgiven, and you give a new heart. But they crucified their Messiah, and God birthed the church, and now we're partakers of the new covenant. We have all of our sins forgiven. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have a new heart, and God writes his law upon our hearts. So Jesus was inaugurating that new covenant in his own blood when he died on Calvary. So just like the Jewish Passover was a memorial of their deliverance, an ordinance to be remembered, so the Lord's Supper is a memorial of our deliverance, an ordinance to be remembered. Pretty simple. The Lord Jesus, by direct revelation to the Apostle Paul, re-emphasized the importance of this memorial ordinance. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' The same way he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So the Apostle Paul planting churches, the Lord specifically appeared to the Apostle Paul, and by special revelation, Paul wasn't there that night, said, "This is what you are to do. Tell the churches to do this." And he's telling the Corinthian church to do this. Why? In remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Sometimes we as Christians can forget about the great deliverance we have experienced by God's grace and salvation. Sometimes we just forget about it. If we could just for a moment look over and get a glimpse of hell and see what the Lord saved you from, you would begin to remember your great salvation. If you could just get a glimpse of heaven and where you're going, you'd be more grateful. "I'm not going there, I'm going there." We need to be reminded of that. That happened the day that you got saved and you were marked with the blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we can forget that. I'll just kind of go through the motions and forget the great cost of our deliverance, the precious blood of Jesus, his incarnation and atonement. Now listen, the Lord knows our mentality, that it is bombarded by the unregenerate, unbelieving world we live in. He knows that. We live in a godless society. Because wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life. Matthew 7 said, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. We live in a world that is predominantly anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, and therefore anti-moral, godless and living ungodly, propagating the mentality of the depraved mind in all of society worldwide. That's what it's doing. And the New Testament church's purpose is to be the pillar and support of the truth that, listen to me, deconstructs the ideological framework the world is trying to build in our minds. That's what the church is supposed to do. Deconstruct all that stuff that you're bombarded with as they try to build up their ideology in your mind, because it is a pillar and support of the truth. And that is manifest when we as Christians gather around the teaching and preaching of the Word of God and remember our great salvation and our great Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave himself up for us. And that is the purpose of the Lord's Supper ordinance, to remember. Listen, there is a reason why the Lord told his apostles to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. There's a reason for that. All you have to do as you look around at modern day Christianity and take a note of contemporary Christian music and entertainment-based so-called worship services that sing songs about themselves and how devoted they are and preach and teach a man-centered, man-exalting, self-righteous sermons of how you can be all that with this Christian flavor of religion in your life. It's sad. It's sad, but that's the world we live in. Contemporary evangelical churches of our day have figured out how to do church without the Word of God and without exalting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Our churches have figured out how to do church without Jesus and without the Word of God. If you don't think so, read in the book of Revelation about the last church age, the church of Laodicea, and Jesus is outside the church knocking, saying, "Hey, I'm not even part of this deal. It's all about health, wealth, prosperity, personal gain, self-esteem, felt needs, money, healing, self-styled, self-promoting, charismatic, emotional, inspirational, feel-good, happy, clappy gatherings that disregard the prominence and the focus of the priority of the Word of God and God's Holy Son, Jesus, and the desperate need of the ungodly sinner's salvation by repentance and faith. That's kind of all that's kind of swept under the carpet. We can get together and we can have this great fellowship and have entertainment and happy clapping and get inspired, all this, and they can do it without exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, without ever preaching his word and ever dealing with the unrepentant sin in their life and the fact that they're going to hell. That's sad. Not only is society, with its non-Christian worldview of atheism, trying to cause us to forget our Savior and our salvation, but contemporary Christianity is slowly but surely replacing sound doctrine and serious worship with a more user-friendly, uncommitted, self-identifying Christianity, which, for the most part, has filled our churches with people who have been given a false sense of security, thinking they're saved or right with God, when in fact they have never repented of their sins and submitted to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've done a disservice. The contemporary evangelical church has done a disservice to those sitting in the pew, giving people a false sense of security, making them think they're right with God, and in fact, when they're not. Thinking they got a ticket to heaven, they prayed some polywall, do a lot of prayer, and they're going to heaven, and in fact, they never repented of their sin, never submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and never really been accepted by Him. It's sad. If you don't think so, listen to what Paul wrote Timothy. He says that in the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We're in those days. That's the age in which we live. You can see why it's so easy for the true born-again Christian to get distracted, losing focus, rationalizing his lack of prayer or Bible reading, and especially his faithful attendance to the body of Christ, the church, for worshiping and learning the truth of God's holy word. You can see why that, because society is just dragging you and pulling you, building up ideologies in your mind, and just pulling you and pulling you away from that. And all of a sudden, church just becomes foreign to you, and the Lord just becomes foreign to you, and worships, you don't even sing worship songs because they just don't appeal to you. You don't even really want to worship. We need sanctified memories. We need spiritual remembrance to remind us spiritual truths that steady the feet of faith on the rock of God's holy word. The Lord's Supper is to help us to do that, to not forget that we are just sinners saved by grace. Just sinners saved by grace, that's all. Grace, as you know, is unmerited favor. It's undeserved blessing. Grace should not be something we take for granted and not be thankful for. No one deserves grace. It's undeserved. That's why they call it grace. But we kind of just take it for granted. Forgetting our great salvation and the blood atonement for our sins will cause you to take grace for granted. And that's why we need the Lord's table, to remind us about grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, who was pastor in the church of Ephesus, consider what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. 2 Timothy 2:7-8. Paul had to remind the preacher. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And of course, if you remind him, remind his people. The Apostle Peter wrote that we should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. 2 Peter 3:2. The Lord, He knows our propensity to forget, and that we need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. Again, we are children of the Most High God. You are the apple of God's eye. You are so special to God that when He raptures the church, wait, you see what He does to this unbelieving world. He's not going to do it until you're gone. That's how precious you are to Him. We are been bought and paid for by our Savior's blood when He gave His incarnate body on the cross as an atonement for our sins and said, it is finished, tetelestai, paid in full. Do this in remembrance of me are His words to us. This is why we come to church, in remembrance of Jesus, in remembrance of what He did for us when He saved us. It's all about Him. It's all about this person, the God-man. It's all about what He did, His work, and who He is. It's not a religious ceremony. It's not liturgy. It's not a Kiwanis club. We come here because of Jesus. And this book is all about Jesus. And we're going to sing songs in that book all about Jesus and his salvation to us. And I'm going to remind you again and again and again, it's all about Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. I hope he has saved you. I hope that you love him. If you do, you will want to be here. You will want to hear more about him. You will want to sing about him. Do this in remembrance of me, the Lord said. This is why we come to church. This is why we come. Do you know that it's a sin to partake of the Lord's Supper and not do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ? The men are going to pass the cup and the bread a little bit, and you're going to partake of it. But why? Why are you doing that? Because everybody else is? Because it's a thing to do? Or maybe get some brownie points with God? Are we going to do it because we're doing this in remembrance of Jesus? That bread represents his body. That blood represents his death. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." 1 Corinthians 11, 27, 28. It's a good time to do some spiritual introspection. There's the bread and there's the blood. They represent the life, death, and burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Let me examine my heart. Is this why I come to church? Is this why I pray? Who do you pray to? We pray in Jesus' name. Listen, your prayers bounce off the ceiling if you don't come in Jesus' name, washed in his blood, robed in his righteousness. Some people go through the motions, never having the memory of the Lord's deliverance of their slavery to sin. That's because they're never saved. There's no remembrance to me because I was never saved. So what is there to remember? I can't think back of a time when the Lord changed my life and brought me from death to life and made me a new creature in Christ, and old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. Some are so deluded by this ungodly society or distracted by so-called religion, they don't even know why they come to church to begin with. It just becomes an external show of religiosity with no heart of love for the Lord, his word, or his people. And let me tell you something. The Lord judged the Corinthian church, and Paul said, "For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." 1 Corinthians 11:30. They had made such a mockery of the Lord's Supper. And they approached it with an unrepented sin, and some were people weren't even saved, and they just made a big show about it, and the Lord was chastening that church. The Lord's Supper is for Christians, administered and observed by Christians. It's for Christians, and it is ministered by Christians. It is a memorial celebration of Christ's death on the cross for sinners who are now Christians. That's what it is. We're going to observe the Lord's table in just a minute, but just let me just say in closing, it is my calling and privilege to bring to you the Word of God, to deconstruct all that the world bombards you with by this church's and its preaching and teaching. By doing that, preaching and teaching, the Bible says, this church, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's what we're doing. We're pulling down those strongholds. We're smashing those ideologies. We're deconstructing all that so we have our minds filled with Scripture and not the latest thing that was on TV last night. So that we are not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what that perfect and good and acceptable will of God is, as Romans 12:1-2 says. The Lord's Supper is going to help us to do just that. So what I'm going to do at this time, there's a way to do this. As a church, we want to follow the apostolic pattern set forth in the Holy Bible, recorded to you, as I just read a minute ago, in 1 Corinthians 11:23 and following. This teaching of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper ordinance was given to him by direct revelation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. So, as a church, we need to follow that apostolic pattern given to the church, first taught by the Lord himself to the apostles that Passover night, just before his sacrificial death upon the cross for our sins, And then further instructed to the Apostle Paul by the Lord himself for the New Testament church to follow as a church ordinance to obey. So we have an apostolic pattern. We have a biblical mandate. We have authoritative passages of scripture to do it the way we're supposed to do it and why we're supposed to do it. Paul told the Corinthian church, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now that would be the Passover night, as I shared with you. That would be recorded in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. You can read that. Paul says, "That night he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, the bread is a symbolic element. It's a symbolic element that reminds us of his body that was given for us for our sins. This is a symbolic element that represents the body of Christ. Let's eat it together. Paul continues by saying, "In the same way," in other words, he gave thanks. Verse 25, "In the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Both times here in this passage, our Lord said, "As often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." The bread represents his body symbolically. The cup, his blood. The bread, his life. The cup, his death. The bread, his incarnation. The cup, his atonement. The bread, his righteous life. The cup, his substitutionary atonement. The bread, the spotless lamb. The cup, the sacrifice given. The bread, the person. The cup, the work. The bread, the Messiah. The cup, the cross. The bread, the king. The cup, the kingdom of salvation. The bread, remember his life, he lived. The cup, remember the death, he died. The bread, remember his preaching. The cup, remember his passion. The bread, remember his humanity. The blood, remember his humility. The bread, his obedient life to the will of the Father. The cup, obedience to die for the will of the Father. Let's take the cup. Jesus said, "As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Symbolic of the blood of Christ. Let's drink it together. The Lord's Supper is to never forget what the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did for us when he gave his body and his blood for us, for our sins. To be our sin bearer, to die in our place, to pay for our sins, so that we could be saved from hell. We're going to obey this ordinance that we just observed, given to the church, until he raptures the church away from this earth. Notice verse 26. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim the Lord's death. That's just what we just did. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Not only does the Lord's Supper have eschatological implications referring to his coming, because we do this until he comes. We're going to keep doing this forever and ever until he comes. One day we're not going to do it anymore. But we're going to do it until he comes, because you know what? He's coming. And he's coming. You know what that means? That means he's alive. You know what that means? That means he rose from the dead. And he's coming back. We're going to keep doing this until he comes. But it also is evangelistic in nature, because we do show the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim his death for our sins and the sins of all who will ever believe. We are proclaiming the good news of the salvation by observing the Lord's table. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's the gospel. Jesus died. Why did he die? He died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Good news, he died for you. Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, he didn't die for you. He died for sinners. He died for sinners. He's coming back for those that are saved by grace. To conclude with, the Lord's Supper is also a time for some serious spiritual introspection. Notice verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. And the world of unbelievers is going to be condemned. To not be thankful, to not remember Christ, to not repent, and not to be reverential is a most unworthy manner. Not that anyone's worthy. We're talking about an unworthy manner. Meaning the Lord's Supper doesn't really mean anything to you. Places you still in the guilty of his body and blood and death by sinful men. So we should always examine ourselves, examine our walk with the Lord, and accept the Lord's discipline in our lives, and rejoice that we're not condemned along with the world. And when you partake of that, you're saying, I'm not condemned along with the world. I've been marked with the blood of Jesus, just like the houses were marked on the doorpost. When the Lord sees you, he sees the blood, and judgment has passed over you. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's stand for our closing prayer.